plant 638.
So these weren't didn't have any specific use or.
No.
On the other one, this looks very similar to the
yeah,
other one.
Yeah, almost similar to the other one.
But the leaves are different.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. And the other one could be used for to eat the leaves, mm-hmm. and these work.
No. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number 637. Again, these were bright purple in the for the flower. And the leaves were all green.
Just like the other. Mm-hmm. First time I saw this. But look at the first one.
Why did you give me a bit of a doctor? I
mean,
I have walked, have visited places on the tundra here and up the coast, and I could see these, but I never could find out what the name of these are. We do a lot of walking by following the reindeer herd. Long walk, but in getting any of these, I never mention or hear someone mention the name of such a plant like these. Huh?
You have more besides
this pile, I think, is it. Well, except for those what's in the back. There are a couple of odd samples from the site. Okay. This is number 647. Again, these formed a low covering.
But in this you really got a good plate.
The only thing that she make out of these, the ones that had leaves and on the tip, she recalls that taking the furry stuff out from the tip and chew them a little and just suck the flavor. It's kind of sweet.
Uh-huh.
She doesn't know any name for that.
Mm-hmm. Are these the same as the ones that we saw earlier?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're about the same.
Mm-hmm. Number 642.
أتكلم تمك
Number
639.
Although we are used to seeing this, still no name.
Number 640. These stems run underground, so that all that you would see sticking up are the leaf and the stalk with the flower.
These are the roots.
Yes. This is number 646.
This garden from the wet places.
Very wet. Yeah. Very wet.
Like those are all.
Only the color is lighter.
Lighter, yeah.
Real soft.
Very soft. These were a little bit darker when I collected them. They were more green, but they were still a light green, as compared to the darker color on the one that we looked at before.
But the looks of it is almost the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like all.
Would it?
Only a little softer.
Mm. Would it have
Oroyuk, and something that almost looks the same as Oroyuk, but from the same family.
Mm-hmm. Was it used in the same way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
We use it for diapers and.
Yeah.
Duck tape.
Number
645. That's your book.
Yes.
No. I don't.
You don't have names back to.
Plants, most of them we don't have any names.
Number 643. Here's the root coming down.
These grow real low.
Right.
Still no men for the Asian. You don't let him put the door. That's the protect your mom. Can you mom cut it out of the door?
Now, let's see, you have to cut it.
If they were closer up inland towards Akasakor, anywhere in that area, and around Tasakpak Lake, if these were picked up from that area, we would also name them Akhtakotak. Where the salmon berries grow. Especially the leaves almost look like these in some of them. Like these here. We would call them Akhtakotak. But I don't think these are.
Well, they have to come from that particular area, though.
Yeah, where it's much warmer. Away from the coast.
Okay, number 649. The grass.
Just the grass. You would care.
Number 650. I think we've seen one of these just before.
That can be actually.
She wanted to look to picture it, but yeah. Just like the ones we've seen before with no name.
Number 651. These are found in very wet areas and in the low, very low depressions or growing in the water. The stock here is, you have the roots coming down from here, small ones. Sometimes, if the water is deep, the stem will be this big. And you have this kind of, the leaves look a little reddish.
Anything that grows, any grass that grows on the swampy places or around the lakes, extended out into the water itself, that grows from the bottom of the lake and up, we call those iviga.
Okay. Would these be the?
These would be found in some areas also.
These aren't iviga.
We still can use, call this ibiga, anything that grows through the water.
Yeah. A lot of these did grow
in
the water.
Yeah.
So this would be ibigak.
Ibigak.
That relates back to what we were discussing before. Mm-hmm.
And number 648. Now these flowers up here are white.
We don't have many of them. Ito pa kanina yung lupot kanina.
Ang lakas ng tinta ng
lupot. So, no name on anything.
When flowers, we missed two types that are familiar to us.
Oh.
The other one, they grow down the coast, just beyond where they are hauling the gravel from.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it used to grow right into that small gully there,
mm-hmm.
on this side of it, right on the bank of that, where the old house used to sit.
Mm-hmm.
We call that place Atutaro, or among that. Those plants, we call them Ola. Something like this style almost look like a
claw.
Yeah. Only the leaves are rounded like that. Some are bigger and some are smaller, and they are sweet.
Okay.
And these are the ones that we would go
we
for.
We eat them with oil and those eat with from the take it out from water,
mm-hmm.
put some oil, and we use that juice, put some sugar on it. That juice.
Before the
sugar,
before the they begin to dry up, when the juice is still on the stalk, we could eat that also. It is much sweeter than the leaves themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Before the stalk turns into grass, we just pick the tip off from the point there of those little things that almost look like the tips of that stalk, you know, and the size of a small shot, I think, a little softer. We just clean that thing off and eat it.
Right now, it's still soft.
It could be still soft.
Yeah.
This is the botanical sample, which was found above the roof of the tunnel in Mound 8, 10 to 12 north, 2 to 4 west. Sure, if you'd be able to do anything with these. There was a entire map that was all kind of woven in together. And
you mean woven in together like this?
not that. It was
just all, a pile of it.
Yeah, a pile of it
in a bundle.
In a bundle, and it had been tied with some baleen.
Mm-hmm.
Your room.
it was on top of boards.
I never did hear of a broom made out of willows.
These are willows, then.
Are they connected together with their roof like this on one end and tied over here? No, or just in a big clump?
Kind of in a big.
I see. Just like the ones that we mentioned. While we were looking in those mounds, the ones that are found in one of the houses there,
right?
Which you or the other man, who was that?
You,
Dale. That we looked into, and I suggest at the time, these are the ones that has been picked way up from the rivers by campers out there during winter. And these are the type that they use for under the mattress next to the snow when they camp, or next to the ground while they're camping. These looks right now just like the old dried willows, which has been washed by the breakup and rested somewhere in a lower spot before after the high water goes down. And these, this dried stuff. Something like this would be used for firewood, only they would be bigger. But these are smaller, just like the ones that we mentioned the other day that has been used for under the bedding next to the snow or to the ground. In some cases, people, when they are traveling, they have these big bundles and tie it up with any kind of a lashing in order to carry it while they're traveling and put it on top of their sled. And this must have been still carried on when the travelers get back to their home and just put them away on the top of the entryway. Probably that's why they're not there.
I remember you talking about that now.
Yeah.
The house fell in.
Yeah.
Ended up on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Not too many years ago, we had the same kind of a stuff which we carry along. But this time we had we were traveling by skidoo in spring. We collect these and put them on the sled, and although we don't have no more use for them, we get them to barrel here and keep them outside of the house for some time. So that thing may have just happened like that.
Okay, this is the some plant material which was found in mound 37, identification number 1574.
Pilar.
Yeah. Of course, it's
Pito Albert Cuba. He all look at the issue, right? We call it Pilara.
Pilara?
Pilara.
These are not found along the coast here.
Mm-hmm.
They grow up inland where there are hills. And where the hill is kind of sloping side,
mm-hmm.
around near the water edge of the river.
Mm-hmm.
The hill is slanting like that. These would grow. And the travelers would pick these up and even take them back to Barrow here, mm-hmm. the ones who winter way out there somewhere. And the ones who are camping out there would still use that for firewood, mm-hmm. for cooking.
Yeah, for cooking.
And also in summer when you are walking, hunting by walking,
mm-hmm.
when you get into that spot, you just pick up a few and build a fire and cook your meal with it in the open. And in most cases, ladies love to have these handy. And on the inside of the house.
Good smell.
Like
an incense.
Mm-hmm.
They use that. Just put it on the burning stove or.
On top of the stove.
Or let a little bit of this kind burn. Start it from the lamp. Let it burn. The smell is real good.
Okay.
Does that word speak Pilara just refer to the plant, or does it have another meaning?
No. Just Pilara.
When it first grows, it's kind of green.
Yeah. Deep. Okay.
Would that grow around Atkinsuk or?
Yeah. Even on
this side.
This side
of Atkinsuk. Not too far away then.
Yeah, not too far.
It grows around in Narrow River, in those places, especially where a small hill on one side of it, or along the edge of the river.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just go ahead, take these and put them in the fire.
Just like the way it is.
Yeah. Just.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The whole thing in.
Yeah.
And leave it.
Okay. When we had to use it for firewood.
And when it's too many mosquitoes, they just light it.
Gets rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
The smoke drives
them. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even these are the roots of these. In some places where we had to use these for firewood, we include this root.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any more, Rick, or is that all you have for
you? Yeah, I've got a couple of those things.
One was going to pick out here. Okay.
Hmm. Is it
more of a pillar?
They can make these in any length,
mm-hmm.
just by braiding that long, dried grass.
Mm-hmm.
These were found in some places where the grass
for fire.
Mm-hmm.
The travelers would pick these up, and when braided into a rope like this, mm-hmm. they're real strong.
Okay. Were they used for like maybe a rope handle or something like this to carry with, or
yes, they can use that for anything, or even to bind something like woodwork or mm-hmm. something.
Could these things be used for incense?
No, I don't think so. Pray your kiruti rice now, kiruti
no.
rice.
No.
It doesn't have a sweet smell to
no.
it.
No.
Okay. All right. And I think this is the last one. These were some pieces of moss and like this that we found on the floor of one of the houses. It was just kind of a wide area. These are a little wet, but they haven't been dried or anything. They're the one of those kind of mosses.
We're looking away.
Okay.
This looks like manak. It's not the moss, or
mm-hmm.
it's a top layer.
Somebody is staying wet, that's right.
On those kind of little higher moss. Mm-hmm. The kind that we use for wick for a lamp.
Oh, okay. This could have been used for wick.
Yeah. But these are has stayed wet all the time, and it must have changed the color.
Mm-hmm. There is one other thing.
So many hundred years this day in the wet.
Would this be the pretty close to the same thing? The way it looks, this must have been an old hide of walrus.
Oh.
Looks good. Yeah.
Pretty tough.
Yeah.
Well, rotten old hide that turns into almost like a sod.
Yeah, that's what we thought it was, a side, a sod. Okay, this was the sample from Mound 10, identification number BAR2 10143.
Yeah, oh, we probably were hard at that. Million years ago.
Cow.
when it broken apart like this, it looked so much like, you know, the side level.
Yeah.
The moss that may have been used for a wick was recovered from Mound 8, identification RH-23.
We will continue this interview in the field and driving out around the outskirts of town. We're out at the freshwater lake, and you mentioned the name of the name of the lake.
The name of the lake is called in Inupiaq, Imeq Sound, which means when you travel from up inland, especially early in the fall and in the winter, you have to travel where there isn't too many drifted snow or deep snow. In order to do that, you have to follow the lakes from the first lake to the next and so on. So this means as you travel north from inland, this is the last lake that you travel along the edge of it where it's smoother. Which means Imeq Sound, the last lake that you use as a smooth traveling space, like a road. Speaking of the lake, from here it is not visible on the east of it, right over in here somewhere, right behind that hill back there. South of us, southeast of us.
Well, those are the adults, so they're careful. You took care of me there. What's that?
Where do I... Are they?
I don't see them myself.
You think so? Maybe that's why that man had a gun with him.
Yeah. It was terrible.
Too bad I didn't bring my small binoculars. I thought about the binoculars, but I forgot about them.
Go ahead, keep talking about the lake. I just had to see it.
Right where probably you see the careful out there, but which I don't. Right beside that hill, just beyond that hill there, there was a lake much smaller than this, which they call in Eskimo Kumaktuyanak. The name I understand is the name of a person, Kumaktuyanak. It happens many, many years ago. The story goes on. And we still remember it. And there is another a small gully right next to where the gravel haulers are working at down there. Right just down the coast, just a few,
just this side,
yeah,
south side,
just a mile or two from there, just about a mile or half a mile, probably. There's a first gully, which is called Alsho Kumaktuyanak. And here's the story. That man was hated by some group of people. At the time, they used bows and arrows for hunting. And instead of doing the hunting, they used their bows and arrows on that man. That's where, on that spot, that first gully there, they first wounded the person there with bows and arrows. And although
they first wounded him there, he did not just fell down. He kept walking and walking while the men are shooting him with the bows and arrows. It's amazing he just don't die right away. He kept on walking and walking until he get to the edge of that lake out here. And there he just collapsed and died. The saying is, he don't want his body to lay near the coast. So he walked in order to collapse out here where it's much further away from the coast. So that is why it is named after his name.
Oh, Kumuktuyanak?
Yeah.
That man, that name?
Yeah, Kumuktuyanak. So this might be sidetracked of what we are doing.
Well, that's good. Is that a legend, or is that, do people remember that?
Remember that, yes. It's it really has happened.
Ah. So that was maybe 100 years ago or 150 years ago?
Oh, probably, yes, or 200 years ago. Mm-hmm. So,
is there any information about that man? Was he probably not a barrel person?
He's a barrel person.
He was a barrel person.
Even the people who lived in the same village would have grudges against each other, and sometimes it leads to murder, like any other places. Since we're here on the lake, the time when back in just before 20s or around 20s, early in the fall, they would build a reindeer corral way up on the end of this village on the lake.
Over on the east end of the
lake? On the east end of the lake. And built a corral and make it out of ice cakes, which has been cut from this lake.
Oh, winter corral.
Yeah, winter corral. And they corral the reindeer into that and shove them into the corral. And through the chute, they count the reindeer. That was the time when they had a mark. And each individual who owns the reindeer has a certain mark, which they mark the ears of the animal in a certain way, each in different way.
Hmm.
So that is the spot where they used to count reindeer at the time.
And that probably wasn't, it wasn't a brand then.
No, it was just
something to cut the ear.
Yeah, cut the ear off. Cut the notch on the side or in the tip, or cut the tip off a little, and then either make a notches here and there on both ears. The mark would be different on right ear, and it would be different on the left. In some cases, the marks would be identical on each side.
Were there any structures over there, or was it simply a place where they made things out of ice?
Just a place, no structure anywhere. So a field just over it, over the hill, the signs of the old screens made out of wire, old, real old ones, which they shipped on the boats and used it as an entryway. Makes wider over here and one over on this side where they drove the herd, and then get narrower and narrower until they get into the corral itself made out of ice cakes.
Did they do any reindeer butchering over there, or simply?
Yes, at the same time too. They would butcher some.
Have the people always gotten good drinking water from, had to come to this lake to get good drinking water, or is that more recently?
More recently. Mm-hmm. More recently. Since 62 or 63, I think, that was the time when they started to use this lake as a drinking water. Before that time, they used the lake out at the now site, that freshwater lake close to the beach. It used to be a real best clear drinking water before we had the flood. And after the flood, it was real salty.
Well, salt got into that
lake. Yeah, that's why they switched. Yeah, by the airstrip there. You still can you see part of it.
Part of it, yeah.
That was the nearest water lake they used ever since I can remember.
Yes, I think you were talking about them using that historically.
They call that Mullikpik. And the next one, just right above that concert hut out there in... on the west of the village. You know where that...
near the warm storage shed?
Yeah. Just above that, there used to be another lake as large as that Mullikpik. But it is dry now. The tractor's been going on close to it when they had the tractors were taking the dump out somewhere, and somehow it gets weaker and weaker, and finally one time it just break through that south spot there, and it emptied itself out.
Oh.
And that lake they called Imrikiluliamut. Imrikiluliamut.
So funny.
It got to Kilurnitrachtan. What a look. Imrikiluliamut. The farthest south from the other ponds were the lake that they use for drinking water, the farthest one. That's how they call that. It is much fresher than the first one that we are talking about.
Oh, Mullikpik.
Yeah, from the Mullikpik. Mm-hmm. The other one is called Imrikiluliamut.
And it was better water than the
Mullikpik one. Yeah. And when we were kids, we used to see an old skull of a whale there, right on the high side or the south side of that lake.
That's the second lake you're
talking about. Yeah, the second lake that we're talking about, Imrikiluliamut.
Yeah.
Yeah. We used to see that old skull of a whale. Here's how it goes. One spring, when they were out whaling, there was a boat that struck the whale with a harpoon with a float on one end of it. And it went down on the ocean. And they waited and waited. That whale never come up on surface. The next thing they knew, instead of surfacing on the ocean, it surfaced through that lake.
Oh, wonderful. Uh-huh.
That's the story. That's how they say that old skull come from that whale that come up through that lake.
Maybe it's got a tunnel.
What did the name Malekpik mean? Did it just refer to that lake, or was it?
Yeah, it just referred to the. Malekpik. Probably yes. She mentioned that loons with black bill would land there in summer and feed on some worms or things like that. And the smaller loons with the excuse me with the black pill are a little smaller. Some we call mullere.
Mullere, yeah.
Mullere. And probably it might have been named after those birds. Malekpik. Yet we don't know.
And the second lake, how did it get its name?
It seems like that the name comes from the word like the fresh water, which is much further than the others.
Yeah.
Somebody shooting up there, probably a caribou.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are there any plants right around here that people would use?
The ones that we may mention, we cannot reach by car.
Mm-hmm.
Like Kongle and Kwa. Some much of Mapachtak.
Yeah. Other places.
Yeah. They're all around us.
Yeah. Those caribou go that way.
And like we mentioned before, there are quags right on that creek over this way, on the splanting of the creek,
okay,
which runs from this lake.
Oh yeah, okay, it runs from this lake out to the coast. The Nunavak.
Mm-hmm. There are also some old houses at Nunavak too. Probably you may have heard about that.
I think I've heard about them. I haven't seen them.
Some are still visible.
Do you know anything about those houses? Do people remember living in those houses? Or
I never hear of any that really knows what type of people are living in that in those houses there. But there are houses such as the ones that you were working on. And quite a few places down the other way too, down west along the coast.
Uh-huh.
Plants that you were mentioning, ones that grow in the water and grow up through the water,
mm-hmm.
Are they the the brown areas.
Yeah, in that low area.
Yeah.
Yeah, in that low area.
These little bugs don't look like mosquitoes.
Some are mosquitoes, I think.
Maybe we could take a drive up the gas road.
Gas road?
Yeah, the one on the other side of town.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go over there. Okay, we're out on the gas road now. Looking back at shooting station, you said you come this way, and the first point
was Tikirao, a good hunting place too for ducks in early summer before the ice goes away at the lagoon. And there is that bay. Anywhere around these points, wherever you stop, you set a net of small mess. There are fish.
At the points.
At the points. And the next point, which is almost north from us, was another point which we call Tikirao.
That is Tikirao. Yeah.
Are you up there?
Yeah.
Yeah, this one here is Tikirao, not this one.
Okay.
But I know some kind of clear on it. The man is a matter of normal, I looked at Okrukavis. Yeah. The first point from shooting station is over down here, Arigawak. A good shooting place for ducks.
Okay.
At about this time. The next one to the north of us is Tikirao.
All right, that's right off where we are now.
And there's a bay over to towards east of us. There's a bay, and beyond that there is another point which is called Tikigachiwuruk. And that is also had a small sandbar right in front of it. And you too can set the nets there at the sandbar. Do some fishing.
There's island. Get the dung.
Those islands, sandbars out there, what do you call those islands?
The barrier islands.
Yeah, barrier islands. Like I mentioned, another point beyond Tikirao is called Avatia, where the creek is on the bay of that that largest bay we have along the coast here. The point of it on this side is called Avatia. A regular bay is Avva. And into it, into the, right at the bend of the Avva, right at the inlet, is a creek running out from the lake out here, which we call Ikhrav. And in that creek, you can fish at this time. Fish running it from the ocean and clear up to that lake.
That lake is called Iqaluit. Here's the name that originally come from. People in early in spring, while the snow is still around, right after Nalukota, people with boats would haul their boats into that lake, which is close to the first gas well, and their equipment in order to travel up inland, they would launch their boats there. Iqaluit means where you get into the boat. A place where you get into the boat. Iqaluit. And there is a creek running out from it at the far end, which runs in, out to that Abwa there. That's why the name.
Two caribou right there.
Yeah, it's in my part of it. It's a stupid. It's a stupid.
It's a stupid. We could have come closer here.
Yes, would be more convenient.
Yeah. I wonder if they could turn over this way.
They were being chased by that bird. Did you notice that?
Yeah. Are they facing the wind now?
That bird, maybe he got a... Maybe somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's why they chase it.
Facing the other way.
Hmm. You take them pictures? No. Look at your timber.
We're at the west edge of Narl, and just on the east end of the Top of the World Bridge, where there historically was a house for outcasts.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You mentioned that,
was that Levis Company, or?
Probably before that or so. Probably before the Liebes company took over the station there. Here is the story that some white people that are working for some company, a whaling company, doesn't do too well with the group. And they were fired from the company, and they started to try and make a living for themselves. And that is why they built a small house covered with sod here in this spot where we were resting at the time. I have seen that house, and there was a family still living in that house just about when I was just a small boy, and before they are hired to leave this company that was Fred Hobson. He was a cook there. One early in the fall, when they used to go out whaling at the point with whaling boats from Barrow Hill, along with the people at the point, which is Newark, more west here, they would take their boats out there, and when the day is good for sailing, they went out on the ocean and do whaling from whale boats. And right after freeze up, a person, a young man, decided to make a trip to Barrow from Point, and the lake was frozen over with young ice. And he got right here, just out of this creek here, right in the lake, in this lake, and he fell through the water along with his dog team. And when he tried to climb up on the ice, his dogs also get tangled with him. That's why he couldn't get up on above the ice, and that he get weaker and weaker, and with no one around. Although that wife of Fred Hobson was watching, she's helpless. She couldn't get to him, so he was drowned right there in that spot. That's where the story is.
That would be been right.
Yeah, right, right in this lake here. Mm-hmm. And that house, some years later, was bought from Liebes Company. And he dismantled it and moved it down to Barrow. It is still standing just like the way he built it.
Now, did who was it that Liebes Company bought it? Moved it, you said?
That's Bob Ockbeck.
Oh, okay.
You know Walter Ockbeck?
Senior, yes.
His father. Yeah. His father bought that from Liebes Company.
So he bought that. What used to be that old outcast house.
Yeah.
And that was that a wood frame house?
Yes.
But you said at one time it was covered with sod.
Yeah.
Or used sod for insulation.
Yeah.
And then Liebes Company bought it to begin with.
I don't know how they
acquired it.
Acquired that. But anyway, this man bought it from Liebes Company.
And then Bob Ockbeck bought it from Liebes Company.
Yeah.
Do you remember approximately what year that would have been?
This might be somewhere around 1915 or 16.
That's when he bought it.
Yeah.
And
maybe
and
before that?
Yeah.
I want that one to tell you better.
Come on, right now, I'm talking about.
They can watch this a month. Either with Mama's room, he's a little.
Yeah.
When I was 9 or 10 years old, I thought it was 19.
Yeah, before that time it was moved from here.
Mm-hmm.
So when you saw the house, it was over in Barrow?
Mm-hmm.
And when you saw it out
it
here?
It was here, right? Yes.
Yeah. So you remember when it was?
Yeah, I remember.
When Bob
when it was bought by Ockbeck.
And he immediately dismantled it?
Yes.
Yeah. Rebuilt it over in
Barrow. Yeah, instead of living in here. He used to go up the river for hunting, for to have the supply for winter's use. But that year, he did not go away in order to work on that house and move it over.
Wow.
So that summer, that spring, they just camp over here and dismantle it and haul it down to Barrow and relocated it where the school and the hospital in between are sitting right now.
Oh, the house is still sitting there now?
No.
Oh.
Later on, it was moved in order to make room for the Signal Corps, who owned the telegraph company at the time.
Oh.
So he didn't want those houses to be near the radio stations. So he had the owners move some of those houses away from that area and relocate them.
Is the house still standing?
Yes, yes. It is still standing.
Remember approximately what year the Signal Corps asked did they ask Bob Ochnick to move it, or was somebody else on it?
He did a little bit of work, especially the ones who owned the houses, a few houses over there, they helped a little bit, but the man who is running the wireless station there, the telegraph office, hired the tractor from the mission, and he was moving all those houses away from the original locations and relocated them.
About when was that?
It was about in 33, I think.
Okay. We should go over and take a look at that house.
Yeah.
All right, you just mentioned that Old Gordon, that would be Tom Gordon.
Yeah, that's
his
Tom
house
Gordon.
Was over there. That you were referring to those Ponset huts.
Yes, the first in line towards the ocean.
Okay.
In that area somewhere, and close to it were the boat rack and a warehouse.
So that would be on the western edge of Narrow?
No, somewhere in the middle over there.
Oh, somewhere in the middle of that row of Ponset huts.
Yeah. Just kind of make it short distance to the lake where they can haul their water from.
Okay, yes. That was at a time then when that water was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, for drinking. Okay.
That's the end of this tape.